Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
Good morning, 8:11 here on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Well, the incoming is the dirty water. The outgoing is the clean water. That is the goal. Bruce Woody is the executive director of, oh my God, all of a sudden I feel so stupid, of the Emerald Coast Utility Authority, ECUA. I'm like, ECUA, what's the acronym for? It just went out of my brain for a second. Bruce, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity.
Great to have you. So yesterday, as you are well aware, the Environmental Protection Agency, EPA, came out with the proposed first federal limits on PFAS, so-called forever chemicals in drinking water. We've been long waiting to find out what this would be. I know you guys have been working on testing, and we've got issues related to the proximity of the military bases where they've used some of the foam in the past. There's all kinds of issues here. The thing that I think most people want to know is, what are the levels that the EPA is saying above which we cannot have in our drinking water? What is ECUA doing to comply with the proposed rules or think about this problem, and how much is it going to cost? So we're going to get to all of that. They say 4 parts per trillion. And as I understand it, that's like about the lowest you can detect. They couldn't set it lower because you can't detect it any lower. Am I right about that?
Yeah, that's a pretty fair statement. They set it at a rate that nationally various testing labs are relatively available to test down to. With better equipment, expensive equipment, you can test a little lower than that. But as far as setting a national standard, I think that's largely what drove that number.
Okay, so that's a very low number. My understanding, and always feel free to correct me if I get something wrong, that's why I have the experts on. My understanding is that generally what ECUA tries to do is take whatever the limit is on any contaminant and shoots for about 50% of that. You know, so like in this case, 4 parts per trillion is the standard. Your goal would be to shoot for 2. Or I mean, your goal is 0, obviously, but your goal would be to shoot for 2. Given that that's the lowest we can really test for, I assume that's not really a feasible strategy in this case?
Yeah, I think your reference there is that our regulations say on the clean water side for sanitation, we achieve numbers remarkably lower than what we're actually permitted for. We shoot for advanced wastewater treatment standards to help protect our local environment and local waters. Of course, we're talking about drinking water here on this particular side, but yes, our goal is always to not just meet the standard, but exceed that standard. In fact, to that end, the ECUA board and several boards for many years have been making investments at the various wells to install granular activated carbon in various locations to get ahead of the subject. Now, every regulation usually takes years, sometimes even decades of discussion before they're actually formulated. So we've seen this coming for a while and been making investments to try to get ahead of it.
How close are we? I mean, I assume that it's going to depend on the well, and I'm assuming that you've put the GAC filters on in the places that show the higher levels of contamination where you need the most cleaning basically to be done. But how much of a problem in terms of any numbers we have is PFAS for us in this area?
Well, as you said, we prioritize based on, in terms of prior investments, based on wells that have a little higher incidence. It's more common around places such as around airports, military facilities where firefighting foam has been used. But quite frankly, it's in groundwater, it's in rainwater. It's such a widely diverse and used chemical. It's used in Teflon. Water-resistant chemicals are used for things like water repellents for furniture and carpet and things like that. So it's been in the environment for quite some time. As far as our local area, we've got 9 wells already that have full GAC treatment for PFAS. We have another 5 that have GAC that was primarily installed for a different treatment purpose that we'll probably upgrade in the near future to help treat for PFAS. We have another 3 that are currently under construction as we speak. that because we have a decentralized system with wells all over the place, we still have 19 of them that we would choose to add GAC to if we were to blanket the entire area, including those areas that have either no current PFAS testing results showing at the moment.
Okay, so out of the, I think what you guys have 31 wells and 28 are operational right now, and based on the numbers you were telling me, somewhere in the vicinity of a third to a half of them have, well, nine, you said, have the high quality, highest quality available. A handful, five or so, have a next level, very high, but not the highest quality. You're building three more, establishing three more, and then the rest are still, don't have the granular, activated carbon on them. So, and we'll talk about that in a second, but that gives me kind of a picture of where we're at generally for ECUA's well system. Hold on just a second before we talk.
And keep in mind.
Go ahead.
And keep in mind, six or seven of them, we don't even have any testing results for PFAS.
Okay, which, great, right? That means it's not shown up there. We don't need to prioritize those. I appreciate that clarification. We're talking to Bruce Woody. He's the executive director of ECUA. Hang on for just a second, Bruce. I think most people, and I know myself when I started to learn some of this, just have no idea of the cost and, you know, logistics issues involved in putting these filters in. They probably think that it's just like buying a filter for your faucet, no big deal. What's the cost on one of these granular activated carbon filters?
We spend probably anywhere from $2 to $3 million per well location to install GAC. If we were to install a GAC in all the remaining wells that don't have them currently over the next 5 years, say, we would be adding about 19 altogether, and we would estimate probably anywhere from $45 to $50 million worth of expense.
And how long do they last? How long are they good for once you put them in?
Well, that capital number includes an awful lot of permanent infrastructure, the vessels and the piping, et cetera, to run to the filtration. What is an ongoing operating expense after that initial capital investment is a replacement of the filter media, which is the actual granular activated carbon, quarter of a million or so every time that we place new GAC material inside those vessels. What's getting to be more expensive is getting rid of them, the material afterwards. Sometimes we can spend quite a bit more to actually get rid of the material than actually to install a new material. That depends on testing results afterwards.
Sure. And so the filters get dirty and they have to be disposed of. And because they're a contaminant, a hazard, it's expensive to get rid of them. So $250,000 to buy them on the front end, more than that to dispose of them. That's for just the filter itself. And I mean, they're generally, I assume they are good depending on the level of contamination that they're actively filtering. So it's going to vary. But I mean, are we talking a year, 10 years, 6 months?
The media gets changed based on the amount of water going through it, plus the amount of contamination at a particular well. So
Makes perfect sense.
They may last 2 or 3 years, or they may last as long as five. We actually have one that's been in probably almost 8 or 9 years, and it's just now reaching its end of its useful life.
So we're talking, as you said, something in the $40 to $50 million range upfront costs, and then ongoing costs of replacing the filters. I have also heard, and you tell me if I'm wrong about this, that it's not just a matter of getting the money and then buying them, but it's finding them, and especially if this is becoming a national standard, the granular activated carbon, already relatively difficult to find, some of the stainless steel for the encasings and the piping becoming harder and harder to find. And I assume that if every other water agency in the country is going to start trying to be more aggressive at compliance with this proposed EPA rule, none of those problems are going to get simpler or cheaper. Am I right?
Right. If demand raises, then the availability of materials is going to really be a big rate shock as well. In fact, even earlier this year, we've purchased 12 vessels to try to get ahead of that a little bit. That's why we have 3 under construction right now, because we knew that sometime in the next 6 or 8 months at the time that we started that we would probably be seeing eventually a regulation. And the production of those vessels can be, you know, 3/4 of a year or more in time between when you order and when you receive them.
So I'm concerned as a citizen, you know, as a drinker and a ratepayer both, I'm concerned. Is there any comfort for me as either in this story, Bruce?
Yes, your main comfort is that the ECU has been investing in GAC treatment for years. Now, back when we first started making those investments, all we had were health recommendations, and eventually those changed to health advisories. And back then, the numbers we're talking about were 70 parts per trillion. Now they wind up being clear down in the single digits.
Yeah.
So it's hard to chase a moving target, but even when the numbers were as high as 70, and we had virtually no wells that were in those kind of numbers, we still started making those investments. So we're well ahead of so many other communities.
And you know, you and I were talking briefly off the air about this, but it only stands to reason that as the technology becomes better, both for detection and for filtering, that this standard will actually go down again, because the goal is going to be get as close to zero as possible. And so whatever we're dealing with now, we may be dealing with even more of this in the future. Well, Bruce Woody, he's executive director for ECUA. As always, Bruce, thank you for being available. I texted you last night at like 9 o'clock and you were available this morning, which is fantastic. Thank you for explaining this to us, helping us to understand it and giving us at least some reassurance that, you know, to the degree possible, ECUA has been working on this for a while and will continue to do so. Thank you so much for keeping our water safe and our picking up our trash and doing our recycling and all the things that ECUA does. I really appreciate it. Thanks for the time this morning.
Yeah, I appreciate the kind comments. Thank you, Andy.